Come on, I need somebody that's gonna trust in him. I will trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord until I die.
I'm gonna treat everybody right. Bending knee.
I'm going to stay on bended knee. I'm going to stay on bended knee. I'm going to stay on my bended knees until I.
I wonder if I have any warriors who will say, I'm going to stay on the battlefield.
I'm going to stay on the battlefield. I'm going to stay on the battlefield. I'm going to stay on the battlefield until I.
Trust in the Lord. You may be seated. You may be seated.
I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust in the Lord until I
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for the desire and the willingness to stay on the battlefield, to trust you until we die. Pray now that you would create within each one of us a clean heart and renew within us the right spirit. Take not your Holy Spirit away from us, but wash us clean. Wash us. Wash us and make us clean this day. Forgive me for my sins, and I pray that in your forgiveness that I will find grace, unmerited favor to stand and to proclaim your holy word. Bless now the people of God. Give us minds that think spiritually. Give us hearts that love spiritually. Give us the desire to do all that we can to bring glory and honor to your name. We bless your name this day. Be in the preach word. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. People who love God said, amen. Our text comes to us today from Romans chapter 8, verses 28, 35, 37 through 39. Paul is in Corinth, that seaport city that worships idol gods. He is there in that city visiting with the Corinthians of faith. And he writes these words to the church at Rome, remembering that Paul has had what the Greeks called a metanoia. He's had a change of heart. He has been traveling on the Damascus Road, going to bring those persons of the way to be eaten of lions and to rot in prisons because they declare that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. He brings as many as he can, but on his way he has authority from the chief priests to bring bound and to bring those persons of the way that they may be martyred for the faith. And so as he is traveling, a light shines from heaven that is brighter than the noonday sun, falls from his beast, and he cries out, my God, my Lord, what would you have me to do? After God has spoken to him through the voice of Jesus Christ, saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He tells him to get up off the ground and to find his way, to go on into the city. And he goes into the city and he finds a man of God who is now Fred because Saul is coming to visit his house, to visit his worship place. And he speaks with Christ. He speaks with Jesus, and he's afraid. But the Lord says to him, fear not, for he is a changed man. Fear not, for he prayeth. When you pray, people who used to be afraid of you are no longer afraid of you because of your prayer life. Paul writes to the Romans these words, and we know, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor anything present nor anything to come, neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we know, come on now, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, nothing, nothing, not anything can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Billy Sunday, the great early 1900 preacher, said one day, you'll read in the obituary column of the newspaper that Billy Sunday is dead. Don't believe a word of it, for that'll be the first day of the rest of my life. Can you touch your neighbor and say to your neighbor, neighbor, death begins a new life. Death begins a new life. God is for us, and nothing can separate us from God's love. Not even Paul's list of seven forms of suffering and 10 demonic powers. Only sin can separate us from God, and we do the sinning. Christians have victory over the world's worst through faith in Jesus Christ. Kumla Ross, in her book, Death and Dying, says that there are at least five stages of grief. When first stage is when I lose a loved one, there is that disbelief. Or when I hear of a friend, there's a disbelief. How many of you have been talking with someone early in the morning and then late in the evening you learn that that person is now dead? You say to me yourself, I can't believe that. How many of you have awakened from sleep to discover that the person next to you in the bed is now deceased, and you cannot believe that that person is dead? So there's that disbelief that the person that you love, the person that you spent life with, some 69 years, some 70 years, that that person is now no longer breathing among us. It is that disbelief. I just can't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't understand it. I do not believe it. So it is that first stage of death is disbelief. The second stage that she says of death is blaming. Blaming. You first blame God. Say, why did God let this happen? Why, if God is such a good God, why is there so much suffering in the world? And why is it that my loved one is now no longer walking and talking among us? I blame God for the death. And I guess it's really true that God, through his providential will, has allowed our loved ones to move from one phase of life to another. Did you catch that? From one phase of life to another. From the suffering of this world to the joy of heaven. And so I guess you're right. It is God's fault when a person passes on. But the question I raise is, when you pass on, where do you spend that other life? Where do you spend that other life? Do you spend that other life in the presence of the Almighty King, in the presence of Jesus Christ, who is now seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for you and for me? Or do you spend that life in that other place? In that other place. It starts with an H, but it doesn't end with an N. It ends with an L. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. Somebody been to Sunday school and know that there's a heaven and that there's a hell. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, there's a heaven and there's a hell. I made up my mind that I ain't going. I ain't going to hell. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to spend my life eternally with God. And then after that disbelief and after that blame, there's that blaming of God, then we blame ourselves. As if we are all of that. If I had been there, he or she would not have died. If I had been there, just my presence and the smell of my perfume. Help me, somebody. And the way I wear my suit, it would have prevented their death. But can I tell you something? You are not strong enough. You are not powerful enough. You are not all-knowing enough. You don't have enough strength to stop someone from dying. Yes, you may be encouraging to them. They may look up and smile at that moment. But the next moment, when they hear the voice of the Almighty God calling them to life eternal, they will go. They will go. So we blame ourselves. If I had been there. And so you have now disbelief, the blaming of God, and the blaming of yourself. But then she says, not only is there blaming, but then we look up and we accept the death. We accept the fact that the loved one has gone. And then we start the planning of the celebration of their life. We start thinking about their love for us and our love for them. And then we start thinking about their legacy, what they have done in the family and what they've done in the community, what even what they've done in service to God and country. We start looking at their legacy, their love, their legacy, and even their life. And so we plan the celebration. Can I help somebody here? When a loved one goes, we ought to not mourn like those who have no faith. We ought, as Christians, we ought to celebrate their life. For their life is now no longer in this place, but their life is in another place. The songwriter says, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. But thanks be to God that everybody who wants to go there, everybody that hear his voice, come unto me, all ye that who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All of us who answers his call to service, his call to ministry, his call to make a difference where we are. Can I help somebody here? Somebody's saying, but I can't make a difference. I don't have the resources. I don't have the strength. I don't have the will. But can I help you here? Wherever God has planted you, that's where you need to bloom. Wherever God has placed you, that's where you need to bring value and substance to your living. So the Bible helps us to understand that the death is not final. But then she says, after acceptance, after you've accepted the fact that the person is gone, and after you blame God and yourself, and then after you've accepted and planned a celebration, the fifth thing that she says is going on with life, going on with God's call and God's purpose in your life. Can I tell you something? All of us have a purpose in life. God did not let us come here without a purpose. He knows the purpose. He knows the dream. He knows the plan that he has for our lives. And that plan is to do us good. Our member, Mrs. Carter, Ann Carter, has written a book entitled Life, Death, and Widowhood. She says, when Bob passed away, my life was turned upside down. What I learned during the process is that God can take what is upside down and turn it right side up. Help me, somebody. That when you're going through a storm, you just have to have faith that God is going to flip your situation. That God is going to make a difference. Paul says, not even death can separate us from the love of God. Can I call your attention to John chapter 11 and ask you to take the pew Bible or your personal Bible and walk with me through an experience of sickness and an experience of death. And we will discover in sickness, God will not leave us alone. And we will discover in death that it cannot separate us from the love of God. The first thing that I see in this text is when there is an impending death or death, Jesus should be the first one that you call. Look at John chapter 11 and begin with that first verse. And it says in that first verse that now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Can I talk to you a little bit about Bethany? Everybody needs a Bethany, and everybody needs a friend in Bethany. Bethany was a small hamlet, a small town where Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus lived. It was at Bethany that Jesus would go when he needed friendship, when he needed someone to express their love for them. All of us need a place of Bethany, a place of encouragement. And then it was not only a place of encouragement, but Bethany for Jesus was a place of fellowship. You will discover that Mary and Martha and Lazarus had invited Jesus to their house and fed him a meal, and he enjoyed the meal and then sit down and started to teach. And while he's teaching, one of the sisters gets up and go to do some work in the kitchen. Can I help you here? Let them dishes alone and listen to the word of God. Listen to God when he's in your house speaking to him, to you. Don't find yourself being busy cleaning the house. It should have been clean before he got there. And after he got there and you fed him, you should listen to what he has to say. She gets up and she says, Lord, make my sister, make my sister come help me, for she's left this work for me to do. Can I help you here? Whenever God is speaking, don't worry about housekeeping. Just listen to the voice of God. And so the Bible says, they said, leave her alone. She's chosen the good part. She's chosen the good part. So Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus lived in this small hamlet, a hamlet of friendship, a hamlet of caring, a hamlet where Jesus could minister. Therefore, his sisters, verse 3, sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. There's a point there. Even though you're loved by God and you love by Jesus Christ and you're comforted by the Holy Spirit, God will allow you to become sick. Y'all got quiet on me there. You got quiet. Some of us think that just because I sing in the choir, because I'm an usher, because I proclaim the word of God, that sickness cannot come upon me. But can I help you here? Sickness comes upon all of us. But guess what? Our sickness is not unto death, not unto an end. It is an end within itself because it helps us to glorify God and to praise him through the sickness. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness, verse 4, is not unto death, but for the what? The glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days, still in the same place where he was. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, your business is important. Oh, y'all not walking with me? All right, I'll preach to the wall. Wall? He says to them, I'm staying where I am. I'm doing what I'm doing. And he does it for 2 more days. Then after that, he said unto his disciples, let us go to Judea again. Verse 8, his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. And why goest thou thither again? Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, he may not come when you want him, but he will come. He may not show up when you think he needs to show up. For your timing is not God's timing. Your timing is not God's timing. God comes when he wants to come. He comes when he needed the most. So the Bible says that he said, I'm going. And disciples said, but Lord, it's dangerous. Can I help somebody here? He doesn't care about the danger of this world. For you see, this world cannot do him any harm. Remember when Pilate said, don't you know I could take your life? He said, no, you can't take my life. I lay down my life. And if I lay down my life, in 3 days, I'll pick it up again. If there are any Sunday school people here that know that Jesus Christ shows up, and when he shows up, old folks say he shows out. And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. Oh, help me somebody. Notice, he says, if you walk in the day, if you walk in the light of God's word, you will not stumble. But if God's word is not in you, you will stumble because there is no light in you. Thanks be to God that the old folks used to sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And they would say, you can't take it away from me. Jesus gave it to me. Verse 11, these things said he. After that, he said unto them, our friend Lazarus is sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Verse 13, howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, But they thought that he was had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Can I help somebody here? Have you ever been asleep or could not get to sleep? Have you ever had so much pain until you just wrestle with your pain? I went to the dentist. Mrs. Winfrey called the dentist and made reservations for me to go to the dentist because I was complaining about one tooth. When I get there, he says to me, Reverend, I'm going to have to take two. I said, well, take what you need to take just as I can chew. Y'all catch that on your way home. He took one from the left side and one from the right side. And then he said, you're going to have some pain. And so I'm going to give you this prescription to fill out. I went, got it filled out, got 30 pills on it. It said, take one pill or two, depending on the degree of pain. Well, I don't like pain. I don't like to hurt. When my feet hurt, I am. When my head hurt, I am. And when you make my heart hurt, I am. So I said to myself, I'm going to take two. Took two. But I read what it said, Deacon Johnson. It said, don't take it in dry. Hard head as I am, I took it because I knew I had to get to Second Baptist. I took those two pills in the morning time. Not night, in the morning. Got in the car. Trustee Thurston, got in the car. I didn't get halfway to church. Got to a red light, stopped at the red light, and went to sleep. Folk blowing their horn. It said, do not take and drive. But I made my way to church. Got to church, went to the office, took off my shoes, put my feet up on the desk. Go on, get me some rest. Because I'm where I'm supposed to be at Second Baptist. Miss Winfrey called Rem Jemison. I didn't answer. I didn't hear. Miss Winfrey and Mrs. Wilridge called. I didn't hear. So I heard Miss Wilridge say, did you look in the window to see if he's in there? So I woke up to look out the window to see them. But guess what? What's the point, Reverend? The point is that no one likes pain. Maybe I should ask, how many of you like pain? Oh, so you're in the house with me. You're bowling down your lane. When we turn to God, when we're hurting, God gives us what we need to relax. He gives us the power of his word. Have you ever read God's word? And in reading God's word, you discover that that word is for you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thou prepareth a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Is there anybody here that got some enemies that God blessed you in their presence? That God made a way for you when they thought that they had you down. And God said, no, God interrupted when the devil tried to destroy you. God interrupted the devil's plan. The first person you should call when death come creeping in the room is Jesus the Christ. And the second thing that I want to point out, lest I keep you too long, is that Jesus is never too late when there is a death or when there's sickness that looks like it's unto death. Death is just a sleeping room. How many of you have been to funeral homes and they take you to the room where they have a lot of caskets. Story is that a young boy was traveling with his grandfather. His grandfather took him to a funeral home. And they were going to in the funeral home, and they went in the room where all the caskets were. The caskets were open. Little boy looked in. As they were walking out the door, he said, "Papa, why there are so many beds in here?" Y'all kiss it on your way home. Just a resting place. Just death is just a bedroom where those of us who believe and who have called on Jesus Christ, accepted him as Savior, and received water baptism, and then the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we can discover that death is just a resting place. So Jesus says, "I go that I may awaken him." Look if you will, at verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, don't be mad with God. If he's coming, go out to meet him. But Mary said, like some of us, I'm through with the Lord. I'm through with church. I'm through singing. I'm through praising him. He did not come when I wanted him. He let my loved one die. But thanks be to God, those of us who die in faith will be resurrected and we shall live again. Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother had not died. But now," look at her faith, "but now, that even now, whatsoever thou wilt have asked of God, God will give it." Whatever you ask God, Jesus, God will give it. What did Jesus say to us? "Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give it to you." Is there anybody here that ever asked God for a blessing and God gave you the blessing? Ask him for a husband, he gave you a husband. Ask him for a son, asked for children, he gave you children. Ask for a promotion on the job and God gave that to you. He gives to his children whatever they ask of him if it's in his perfect will. My father, and I shared this at 8 o'clock service, my father's life was snuffed out by his best friend when I was 4 years old. Stabbed him some 21 times, but he was his best friend. Can I say that again? He was his best friend. David said, "My friend sought my life." But can I help you here? I asked Mother, I said, I'm about 10, 11 years old. And I wanted a pair of skates. And I said to Mother, you know, everybody in the neighborhood got these skates and I'd like to have a pair of skates. She looked at me and she said, "Robert, just go look in the closet, in that barrel that the daddy left, and see, and get the money out and go buy you some skates." Now, I'm 11 years old. My dad died when I was 4. So, but I was stupid enough to believe that there was money in the closet. Deacon Shelton, I go to the closet, open the closet, and first thing that I do not see is a barrel. So I start moving stuff around. Maybe it's just a little. Came back to Mother and I said, "Mother, I didn't see a barrel." And she looked at me and she said, "Did you ask your daddy?" Sometimes we don't see the blessing that God has for us because we don't have faith to open the closet door and look for the barrel. But guess what? About 4 days later, my grandfather picked the three boys up and took us to a store called Goodwill's. And guess what? There was a pair of skates there. I'm not talking about size 9, size 10. You remember those old metal skates that are just, oh, y'all not walking with me, that you had to have a little screw to screw it? Guess what? Those skates fit my feet. I just had to have the right kind of shoe so that it could tighten up. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, tighten up. God loves you, and whatever God has for you is for you. It may not come when you want it, but just keep on serving him. Keep on praising him. Keep on having faith and believing that God, your Father, will give you whatever you asked of him. Lord, if you would have been here, our brother would not have died. Jesus says to her, you will see him again. And this is what she says in faith and being a good daughter of Abraham. She says, I know I shall see him again in the resurrection. Jesus, in his divineness, smiled and said to her, look, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Listen to why I know that death will not separate us from the love of God, because we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that he is the Son of God. We believe that he was conceived of the Virgin Mary and born in a stable, and we believe that they laid him in a manger. We believe that he walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem. We believe that he preached. We believe that he healed the sick, gave sight to the blind. We believe that he raised a daughter from death. We believe that he is coming back again. We believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that no man shall come unto God except by him. We believe that he's gone to prepare a place for us. Is there anybody here that believe that he is the way? So he says to her, I am the resurrection. You're looking at the future in the moment. Sometimes we don't see Jesus for looking at the moment. But he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, though there was no life in him, there was no existence in this world, if you believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. One day you read that Robert Jimerson is dead, but don't believe a word of it. That'll be the first day of the rest of my life, because I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back again. And so he says to them, just show me where you laid him. Masters, no need to show you where we laid him. He's been dead for 4 days, and behold, he stinketh. But can I help you here? Thank God that he knows how to deal with my mess. He knows how to deal with the stink in my life. He said, don't worry about that. Just take me to where you laid him. Can you see Jesus going through the city, going to the graveyard, going to the cave? And at the cave, the Bible says that Jesus wept. That Jesus wept. He cried. He cried. He wept. And then he said to the Father, Father, I'm asking you. I know you got the power. All I need you to do is bring him forth. And the Bible said that Jesus called out. It didn't say he called him with a loud voice. He said, Lazarus, oh yeah, I'm going to give you a sentence, an imperative sentence. Lazarus, I got a command for you. Come forth. Oh, I see him in my sanctified imagination. He heard the voice of Jesus saying, come unto me. And so he gets up. From the grave, he comes to him. As he comes out of the cave, the Bible says he's wrapped in grave clothes. And he's wrapped in grave clothes. And a napkin is on his face. He moved the napkin and the grave clothes. Jesus said, loose him. Is there anybody here that's been wrapped up in sin? That's been wrapped up in the death of sin? But hallelujah, thanks be to God that the sin that wrapped us up, he said, loose him. The Bible said that they loosed him. There's somebody here that's been wrapped up in hatred. He's saying, loose him. Somebody here been wrapped up because a loved one that they love walked away from them. But can I tell you something? There is a name that I love to hear. There is a one that will love us no matter who walks away, no matter what storms we're going through. Jesus loves us enough to say, come forth out of your grave. Come forth. People who wrap us up in grave clothes, lying on us, talking about us, trying to set traps for us. The same people that set traps for you, God says to them, loose him. Loose her and let them go. The Bible didn't say Lazarus said anything. It said that he came for it. And guess what? If I was Lazarus, after being dead for 4 days and in a grave with other folk, I think I just had one thing to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being the resurrection and the life. Thank you for raising me. Thank you for taking me out of a bad situation. Oh, that's chapter 11. But in chapter 12, the Bible said that there was a party going on. And that Lazarus was at the party. And Jesus was there too. Is there anybody here that knows something about being buried in your sins and coming out of your sins and thanking God and sitting at the table with the master celebrating God's deliverance? It happened on Calvary. It happened on Calvary. The devil said, I got him now. I got him. The grave said, if you give him to me, I'll bury him. I'll keep him down. But thanks be to God. On that third day morning, he got up from the grave. His getting up from the grave tells me that death cannot hold me. It cannot separate me from the love of God. It may come, but it can't keep me. Why? Because Jesus died. And he paid it all. And all to him I owe. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, when death comes, send for Jesus. And if he doesn't show up in your time, he shows up in his time. And then guess what? Wait for the resurrection. Don't know about you. Don't know how long I'll be dead. But thanks be to God that one glad morning when this life is over, Gabriel shall blow his horn, put one foot on time, one foot on eternity, and blow so loud until the dead in Christ shall rise. Where shall I be? Somewhere listening for my name. The old folks say, I hear music in the air. There must be a God somewhere. You may not understand it now, but we'll understand it better by and by. When I get to heaven, I'm going to take off these old shoes. Put on new shoes. Take off robe and put on a new robe. Why? Because God has made it possible through the blood of Jesus Christ. Gabriel, blow your horn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for Kumla Ross in the stages of death and grieving. Thank God for Ann Carter. But thank God for Jesus Christ. And the reason why I thank God for Jesus Christ is because he died and he got up. And the reason why I know he got up because some folks saw him. And then not only that, because he said to Thomas said, I don't believe it. I don't believe he's up. I don't believe he's up. And I won't believe it until I see the nail prints in his hands, and where they pierced him in his side and his feet, and where the crowns of thorns were, I won't believe it. But thanks be to God that when you miss church, Jesus still comes. And if you come to church, he'll meet you there. And the Bible said he walked through the door, went to Thomas and said, Thomas, look at these hands. Look at the print of the spear. Thomas, look. Thomas said, Lord, I believe. And Jesus took the telescope of time and looked down and saw Jemison coming and said, blessed are those who have not seen, but yet they believe. Hey!
Amen.
Death cannot separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus. Come on, deacons. I'm going to preach some more if y'all don't come on. He proves that the resurrection will be an event in the future for every believer. Church is standing, we're singing. The door to my Father's house is standing open. You may come by letter, Christian Spirit, for we invite you. In my life.
Jesus came into my heart. I have a light in my soul for which long I have sought. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart.
That third verse says,
I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I'm happy, so happy as on what I know. Since Jesus came into
Lord our God, how thankful we are that you are the resurrection and the life. We thank you, our God, that you have promised those who believe in you that we shall never die. We thank you for the experiences of death that leads to life eternal. Bless now the people of God as we go. We thank you for Trustee Helen Joshua, her presence today. We thank you for Mr. Maroney and his presence today. And now may your grace, the grace of God, the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us as we go, knowing that our first call when death or sickness come, is Jesus Christ. And then our God, to not set a date or a time when he should appear, but bless his name whenever he appears, and then look for the resurrection and know that Jesus Christ is the proof that your word lives. Now take us safely to our destinations. As we enter into our homes, may we find joy, peace, and love. Thank you for being all that we need in our homes, in our workplaces, and even in our church. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God said amen. And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, choir.